Welcome to Work From Your Happy Place, the podcast that equips you with the tools, know-how, and motivation to live your dreams and find your happy place. Be sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter for a recap of the week's guests and a preview of what's in store. To sign up, simply text the word happy place with no space to 33444. Now, it's my pleasure to introduce the host of Work From Your Happy Place, Belinda Ellsworth.
Everyone, and welcome to Work From Your Happy Place. I'm really excited about our guest today. I have Gary Sandersky with me, and he is an author, a speaker, a teacher, and branding specialist. He specializes in helping people and organizations to navigate change and frequently speaks and writes on the topic of emerging brands, personal branding, and companies in transition. Gary is an award-winning writer, author of The Book of Zen and Zen Zone, often quoted marketing expert and recipient of the Distinguished Instructor Award from the University of California in Irvine, where he teaches branding. He resides in Southern California. It's my pleasure to welcome Gary.
Hi, Belinda. How you doing? Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's my pleasure. So, Gary, just take us down this journey a little bit and fill us in on some of the gaps in this bio and tell us a little bit more about your business today.
Okay. Well, I'll start with the fact that I was born and raised in Toledo, Ohio. And right out of college, I was really one of those lucky folks that got to do what I wanted to do, which is work in marketing and advertising and communications. And I ended up spending a few years at the local cable TV company. And in the second or third year I was there, we won the best award you can win in town for advertising. And that's kind of cool to win the best you can win after just getting started. And so I thought, well, I got to go someplace where I can't win, where I need to be challenged a little bit. And so I moved to Los Angeles. And when I got here in Southern California, I started working for a couple of newspapers, including the LA Times. And then I got into my real love, which is the advertising agency business. And from there, I worked for a couple of really cool agencies. And the luck of the draw was I would be working on some really international brands that were going through some kind of change. They were going a brand extension or a line extension or a new product or a new country or something like that. And I found that there's a certain kind of process that companies go through when they're trying to move or navigate through some difficult changes. And I kind of made it a science for myself. And sometime after I got all that experience, I started my own company, which has now been around for about 30 years or so. And we did the same thing. We specialized in helping those kinds of brands. And so it's taken me around the world in different places. And I've developed this matrix, which is a real kind of easy tool. And I've been using it successfully, and I also use it to teach my class in branding, which just started again this week here at UCI. That's kind of a quick run-through, but I'm doing what I've always been doing and loving every minute of it.
Well, that is fantastic, and you're right. I think you're one of the lucky ones that gets to do what you've been doing right out of the gate and seen some really early success, but I'd have to say you probably have continued to learn and grow in this ever-changing online marketing space as well.
Absolutely. In fact, besides the branding classes I teach, I'm now teaching a transmedia marketing course through storytelling, which is kind of interesting too. Yeah, the digital landscape has really shaken things up here in the marketing world.
Absolutely. Probably more than anything we've seen in recent times. So I think, I know for myself, it was like I just kept kind of ignoring it, thinking I don't have to add that to what I do. And the reality of it is people don't even take you as serious as being a contributor to whatever industry you're in if you don't have that as part of your portfolio. So that's at least what I've discovered. So then tell us a little bit about the business and how it's shaped your lifestyle today.
Well, you know, as I said, I'm still doing the same kind of work I've always done, which is concentrating on organizations in transition. And for about 15 years in my business, I had a great partner, and we were able to open up offices in Madrid and Paris and Miami and San Francisco and here in Southern California. And we got to travel to great places and helping people launch their brands and things. A few years ago, she decided to not retire, but she had some things to do with her kids, and she took off to do that, which is great. And I kept the consultancy going. And I've been focusing as a single owner with my old team. Actually, we're a virtual team. I have designers and things in my team and writers that are in different parts of the country and the world, actually, that some of them I actually have never met in person. So that's the beauty of working in a digital world. And so I have a lot of flexibility, I guess, is what I'd say. I enjoy my clients a lot. So much of what you do today is based on trust. And so if they trust me, I could be talking to them from wherever, Oogla Boopia, and they'd be okay with that. And with digital marketing and like things like Skype and Google Hangouts, you can be online and feel like you're right there. So I'm able to navigate large expanses of geography and still do my work, which is really cool. And then for the clients that are here in Southern California, I use their offices instead of my own. I have a home office, but I get to hang out with them for the days that I'm there working with them. So it's been pretty cool, and it's a lot of schedule to navigate, actually, and it's pretty much a 7 days a week kind of regimen. But that said, because I love it so much, it's not a burden at all, and I look forward to every single day when I get going.
That's great. And I do think it goes back to like kind of what the whole topic of the show is, that when you really love what you're doing, it really doesn't feel like work. And I think that's a great point that you made. And I think also another really good point to make in that is I think people have this assumption that might be listening to this, that they want to own their own business and then they wouldn't really have to work as much. And in reality, I find that business owners probably end up working more. It's just how they choose to work, who they choose to work with, and still being able to take the time off that they want to take the time off with. So it isn't really that you'll work less. You actually sometimes end up working more, but it's just loving what you do. Would you agree with that?
I agree. And I think the trick, at least depending on what kind of work you have, you know, getting away often means to a business owner that they're not earning any money. You know, if you want to take a vacation, that's on you. And oftentimes too, there's nobody to take your place. I've had it both ways. I've had a big team working for me, you know, at the office where I could get away. But then I always felt like I was working for the people back there. You know, they were expecting me to bring in money. And of course, that's always the case. It takes a really a good leader to, if depending on how fast you want to scale or what you really want to be. I was happy with the mid-size kind of team that we had, and I love the way it is right now. But you know, there's really no real clear break where you can just, you know, just take a big deep breath and say everything's going to be okay. There's always something going on. But then again, you know, it is what it is, and it's relationships, and I love what I do, so it's not a big deal. I can pick up the phone in Hawaii just as easily as I can in Southern California.
That's great. So what do you think, then, two of your greatest skill sets are that have helped you succeed in owning your own business?
Wow. That's a tough question. Let's see. I think one for sure that comes to mind is my ability to listen and translate. And when I say translate, I mean take complicated scenarios and simplify them so that we can plan all on the same page. A lot of times clients will come to us and say, we've got this really big deal going on, and they throw a lot of stuff in there, like jargon even, you know, and things that are technical aspects of their business that really are getting in the way of what they really want to do. So I found a way to really kind of simplify that. So that's a skill set that has served me well. And also in teaching, which I get a lot of students from all different parts of the world. UCI really draws from a large bandwidth, and they have complicated questions, and I try to simplify it for them. So translating and simplifying, I think, is one of the things. And then going right along with that is listening. So often when you start in a career, and especially if you're in a services business like I am, you feel like you got to get up and say something to be, you know, have any impact. And a lot of times, you know, you're jumping ahead of the gun. You don't really have the whole story. And if you listen just a little bit longer, you sometimes are able to get that nugget of information that will help you actually say something that really is relevant and decisive. And when I was younger in the agency business, I was oftentimes really stressed in meetings because I didn't think I was participating. But as I learned, as I got older and more mature, that, you know, just kind of hanging back and letting people tell their story is really what they want anyway. So just do that and be good with it.
That's great advice. And I think that's a skill set that a lot of people struggle with. And I think you hit it, is there's this need to show that we know what we're talking about, or that we've got to provide the solution, or we've got to provide the answer. And by listening, oftentimes you'll find that what you thought you were going to say isn't even the exact thing they're looking for. So I know that is a particular skill set that it took me a while to figure that out. Like, just sit back, observe, listen, and then make your advice based on what you're really hearing. But it took me a while, I'll be honest. So I think that that's not one that comes easy to people. And it's not a lot when I do these interviews and I ask a lot of business owners, like, what do you think your greatest assets are or skill sets? That one doesn't come up a lot. So that's really great. And I'm glad that you're sharing that with our listeners, because I think it's key in you communicating what it is that the client really wants. And I always say that too. People love to talk about themselves. So by allowing them, they actually find you to be more intuitive or nicer. I've even heard people say, oh my gosh, you were so nice. And you really said very little, but you allowed them to share their story and feel important and all of those things. So I think that was great advice.
Yeah. And I think I'll tag on to that. I had a meeting yesterday with a client, a CEO who is, you know, always the smartest person in the room. And she's just unbelievable. And out of the 2-hour meeting, I spoke about 30 seconds. It was just everything that she wanted to dump on the plate that I needed to know. And I was exhausted after that. You know, just listening for that long and concentrating is an exhausting thing. So a lot of people, sometimes just to get their own energy up, will interrupt. But yeah, if you train yourself, you can actually just let it happen. And it takes some training, but it can be done.
Great. So share with us then one of your most outstanding accomplishments, or something that you've achieved that's super meaningful for you.
Wow. Well, I'd say on a personal note, it's the raising of my 2 sons, who I'm really very proud of. They're very successful doing things. One's working at a company you might have heard of, Facebook, and doing great. Just got married. And the other one is just got engaged, and he's working at one of my clients, a technology firm that was a startup that is one of my successes as well. I started with them when there were 5 people, and I was the 5th person, and we were a startup 9 years ago. Now we're at 260.
Wow.
And we're in 5 countries, and it's going gangbusters. So that's been a great run for me, and I still work for them now.
Oh, that is fantastic. And that is awesome. And I know that's what we always want, is our children to do better than we've done, or to have success. So that is great about your sons.
Yeah,
so
thank you.
Then share then the opposite of that is a challenge or an obstacle that you faced, and then how you worked through that.
Well, I've had a couple of them. You know, on a personal note, it was a divorce that went through, which had the same, it was still having to revolve around my children and stuff. But I'll use another example that was someone that, you know, something that many people faced at the same time, and that was 9/11. We had businesses going on, like I said, in different parts of the world at the time. And one of our clients was Ernst & Young, which had a big office. And some of our friends were in the towers in New York. And fortunately, they all got out and everybody was fine, which is great. But on that very same day, we had a meeting scheduled with a company from Paris to talk about doing some international work. It was a big deal for us. And because of all of that, 9/11, et cetera, we obviously postponed the meeting, but it turned from a postponement until we never had it. The whole world changed then. Mm-hmm. People just didn't go places. They didn't want to be international anymore. It was what we were really proud of most was something that wasn't working for us. So that was a huge challenge to kind of retool the company. We didn't want to let go of it. We eventually got back to it, but it slowed us down considerably.
Yeah, that was a very challenging time. I remember I was even booked up for conferences, and then people were like, no, we're not going to do a live conference this year. We're going to do this instead. They just didn't want people traveling in. It was a very challenging time, an interesting time in society. And then it did eventually, you know, I think change. But I don't think if you didn't work in that industry of doing meetings or providing people or traveling or having any kind of work outside of just where you live, you didn't really realize the ramifications of that. And it was difficult. I remember it well.
Yeah, it was scary. We flew a lot of miles. And even after that, I still get haunted thinking about those poor folks on those aircraft getting on a plane. You know, it's like, oh my gosh. Anyway, yeah, it changed the world and it still is changing it. You know, the ramifications of that are unbelievable.
Yes. So then on a happier note, what does working from your happy place mean to you?
Well, I think I've kind of touched on it already. My happy place is knowing that I can have a positive impact on my clients. And so however I have to do that or happen to do it, makes me feel good. And it's kind of crazy because if you don't have like a partner or like a big team to kind of rally and cheer, you know, you only get the kudos from satisfying your clients. And if you can do that on a regular basis and they trust you, that just makes my whole day. And it makes life a lot easier too. And I've had some, you know, run-ins with clients for different kinds of things. And sometimes it doesn't always work out the way you want. But my happy place is trying to get to that place where it does work out and we actually make a positive change.
That is great. So tell me about the two books that you have, because people are always looking for great books. And so why don't you take just a minute, tell me about those two books that you've already written, and then we'll go on to your advice that you have for other entrepreneurs. So tell us about the two books that you've written so far, because it is a great accomplishment to write a book, and it's no easy task. So I applaud you on that, but give our listeners just a little bit of idea on if that's a book they want to go out and grab.
Okay, well, thank you. Well, the first book is The Book of Zen, and that's S-Z-E-N, which incidentally is the first four letters of my last name. And that was written over a five-year period of time. And it was written in a way that it was kind of accidental. I was writing some motivational, you know, kind of notes to my staff, and they sent those on to other people that liked them. And then pretty soon they start expecting to have something every week. And I started it and then named it The Book of Zen and started writing these blogs, I guess you could call them. They weren't blogs at the time, but after I got like 5 years worth, imagine like 50 a week, 50 a year times five, all of a sudden you got a bunch of stories and we compiled it and put it together into a book, that first book of Zen. And the Zen Zone is the same thing. It's a little bit more mature version of the same thing, which are inspirational stories for, you know, dealing with change and how to be hopefully a better person and have a better, happier life. And I love both of the books. I don't remember the story sometimes because it's been years since I looked at it. And I'll open them up and I'll read one and I'll go, God, this guy's great. Man, you gotta like buy this book. This is really cool. And then sometimes I'll look at it and say, what a hack. This guy couldn't write his way out of a paper bag. So I have mixed feelings about my own work, but I'm happy to have them out there. And there'll be a third one because I continue to write those stories every week.
You know, on a real personal note, and you already shared about your divorce, that was a challenging time for myself. But I remember I used to write a magazine and we published this magazine every month and it had all these great positive attitude and, you know, motivational, inspirational stories. And plus it had tips. It was a really great little business magazine. And I was going to this counseling and she had said, you know, I would love to see some of your stuff. And I said, oh, okay. And I brought her in just a handful of magazines, past publications. And, then in a future thing, when I was just kind of saying something or doing something, she goes, you know what? I would really recommend you do go back and read your own stuff. She said, it's so positive and it brought me such great joy in reading it. And she goes, I think you've lost sight of who you are and what you do. And It really was great. It has stuck with me forever. That was a good many years ago that happened.
But that's really good, Belinda. That's a wonderful story.
I know. Isn't that a great story? But I think sometimes we do some really great things and then we get in a space and we don't realize the work that we did or what we said or how we felt. And we sometimes just need to go back and revisit the things that we did. Sometimes even I keep all my calendars from years, like pretty handy. And if I'm having like a slower day or I'm feeling like I'll look back on that on my calendar and look at like, wow, look what I was doing that day. Or, oh my gosh, I haven't talked to that person in a really long time. I should reach out to them. And it just jogs my memory of a really good time. And that's just a little trick I do too, to just get myself, if I'm feeling down or like you're feeling like, where's my next client? It's like, sometimes you need to revisit what you were doing when you were really on fire or when you were really happy. And it just helps you to go, yeah, this is right. This is what I do, you know?
I totally agree with that. I think on the other side of that too, is that actually writing is therapy for me. You know, if every Sunday I sit down about 3 p.m. and I'll start to write a story for the week. And I tell you, no matter what kind of mood I'm in when I sit down, by the time I'm finished, I feel great. And I send that guy out you never know who you're going to touch when or how. That's the beauty of writing something that's like hopefully inspirational, is that mm-hmm. it touches people in different ways. And so I get a lot of people that respond to me. And that's the other thing that really helps you continue, is they say, you must have been thinking about me today because this was spot on for right. what I needed.
Yeah.
And I love that.
Great. So what advice would you give to others who want to be entrepreneurs or want to own their own business?
Do it. That'd be the first thing. But I'll say there's a lot of caveats to this. Starting your own business, it's hopefully something that you really love doing, that you would do even if it didn't make money. You know, I think that's kind of it's an odd thing to say, because most entrepreneurs get in there because they want to make money. But if you put money ahead of your vision, you'll be disappointed. So put your vision into your thought of what it is you want to do, first of all. Sometimes, you know, people will buy a franchise or take a business on that maybe is really even out of their skill sets because they just want to be that business owner. Well, that's easy to do in a sense, you know, because you can just buy the franchise and be that owner.
Right.
But to really do something that is you, that you can put your own brand on and stamp, is a little bit more problematic. It takes a little bit more soul searching and self-discovery, but I think you'll find it more fulfilling down the road. So if you're really a good salesman, find a career that, or a company, or found a company that is about helping people learn how to sell. And that way you can do what you do best and still make a buck.
Right. That's good advice. So share then, in closing, what are some exciting things you're working on? And then I would like you to share with everybody how they can find you.
Okay. Well, right now I have about 4 active clients. One's a technology company that I mentioned earlier that I've been there for 9 years. It's a business management software company, and that's going gangbusters. I have a couple of local clients that are in property management and that kind of thing. And both of our really good friends that I've been working with for years. And I've just started a new project with a company that's out of China. And they're bringing disposable diapers and baby wipes and things to market. And they're a startup. And that's really exciting because I've never worked in the diaper business. Mm-hmm. And there's like a feminine hygiene products as well. So this is all brand new to me. But because it is new, it's got me really jazzed. And then, like I mentioned earlier, I'm teaching school again. I teach about 2 quarters a year, and it just started this Monday. So I'm always excited to meet my students, and I've got them from different parts of the world. We have Chinese students. We have people from South America this quarter, and a couple from the East Coast. So it's a mixed bag, and it's an online course. I love that. So I'm really busy doing it.
Well, that is great. And how can people find you? Like, give us a website or Facebook, or what? Tell people how they can find you.
Yeah, the easiest way, I guess, is, well, you can always just Google me and you'll find a bunch of stuff on Gary Zendersky, but you can go to ZenZone, ZenZone.com, and you'll find some information on my books, and you can buy them there, or you can go click on the Amazon and find the books as well. If you want something on the business side, you can contact me at, you know, go to my website at zen.us, S-Z-E-N.us, and you'll find out how I do business and the kind of clients that I work for. And if you just want to email me, go ahead. It's Gary@bookofzen.com, and I respond to every email, and I look forward to hearing from you. And if you do get the book and you're somewhere in Southern California and you want me to sign it, just reach out, and I'll be happy to meet you someplace.
That's awesome, Gary. Well, thank you so much, and what a delight it's been having you today. Great information, and we appreciate all the work that you're doing.
Thanks, Belinda. It's been my pleasure.
All right. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us at Work From Your Happy Place. If you like what you hear, please share it with your friends and be sure to rate and review us on iTunes or Stitcher. For a free gift on finding your own happy place, please visit workfromyourhappyplace.com and click on the free audio button. Thanks again for listening.